From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, let's jump right into the phone lines here in this 7 o'clock hour of the show, 406-294-0970. Yeah, for those of you just tuning in, just getting up and rolling this morning, wow, what a phone call that we got from a firefighter, from a medic. She's a firefighter in Bozeman, Montana. She lost her baby due to an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman, she says, refused to give her bereavement leave. And then she says the city compared her loss of her child to the loss of a pet. And then the city doubled down with an even worse bereavement leave policy after she told them of her struggles and of her plight. Wow. Yeah, definitely want to see a response from the city of Bozeman on this one. Tim and Savage on the phone lines. Tim, Tim, what was your thoughts after hearing Gabby's story?
Well, I'll tell you, man, I'm currently driving heading from Billings back up north again, and I mean, that just ripped my guts out. I mean, that Gabby's story has hit my family as well, and you know, we've had issues with others, other relatives, and it's just disgusting that any policy or bureaucrat would question another person's grief, and unless you've gone through it, you have no idea how hard. You know, how painful this process is, and trying to put a number on it. And that's exactly what the left does, is they say, well, it's not a real human being. It's just a fetus. It's a clump of cells. But no, that is a child. And Gabby and her husband, I just feel pray for them that they can find some solace in that the telling their story is going to hopefully make some positive change. But yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible response, especially treating a firefighter medic like that.
Yeah, and this from the ever-so-virtue-signaling city of Bozeman with their rainbow crosswalks and their rainbow flags and everything. It just looks like, again, just radical politics on display. It's kind of like the phone call we got from the former mayor of Bozeman yesterday. You know, and I asked him, I said, what would you do if you were mayor right now of Bozeman? And he said, well, they seem to be focused on dividing the community. I would try to figure out what unites the community and move forward with what unites us. And that kind of seems to be, you know, here too. Like, oh no, we can't acknowledge the loss of this baby in the womb, because if we do that, oh, you know what the repercussions are of that for this radical left-wing agenda, right? Or they're just trying to save city taxpayers money. Oh, so you'll save money with this regard when it comes to one of your own firefighters that lost a baby, but look at all the other things you'll waste money on. You know, give me a break.
Well, and especially coming from that same far left, you know, shut down the police and all of that sort of a crowd. So they're worried that other people are going to abuse that. That's a great question. Well, what kind of people are you hiring? What kind of staff do you have here if this is what your true concern is? And the left always is accusing the right of doing exactly what the left is doing. So, yeah, abusing policy, that's not the way we roll as conservatives.
Where's the public employees union? Maybe they're speaking out on this, maybe not. Where is the MFPE on this topic? That would be interesting. I'd sure love to hear what they have to say about this as well. Hey, Tim, if you can, stick with us. I got something else to throw at you next.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly sunny conditions today and some scattered showers and storms developing, mainly in the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay from the upper 70s to the lower 80s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms early on yet, and then temperatures will bottom out in the mid-50s to around 60. Thursday, looking at a mix of clouds and sun and more showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon, with highs from the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
This is Health Call for Health. A study suggests Americans can stay sharper and healthier in their later years by exercising and eating better. Initial research findings published earlier this week show older Americans who followed healthier eating habits and exercised their bodies and minds scored as if they were a year or two younger on brain tests. Geriatrics professor Laura Baker led the study, consisting of 2,100 participants between ages 60 and 79. Study participants were split into two groups. One group was tasked with exercising daily and playing brain games, as well as socializing regularly, and even got help from coaches. Meantime, the other was given brain-healthy advice with little coaching. Researchers are now examining brain scans and blood tests from participants to see if there was any reduction in Alzheimer's-related protein buildup during the study. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Hi, Ray.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, when we talk, let me throw something else towards Tim and Savage here. I've got a couple of woke updates of the week. You might be saying, Aaron, it's Wednesday. I thought you'd do the woke updates on Thursday. Well, you're going to have some great woke updates on Thursday's show as well. Tomorrow, I'm going to be getting my gear all set up for our live show from Kalispell tomorrow morning. So David Noble is going to man the 7 o'clock hour. He'll be here solo covering the show for the 7 o'clock hour of the show while I get set up in Kalispell. But I had this, Tim, I had this woke update of the week. I was saving it all week long. I was going to hit David Noble with it tomorrow and say, check out this funny woke update of the week. But now it's the most obvious woke update of the week ever. But it started with this. This was a story that was published July 24th, so 6 days ago, by the Daily Caller. Company's stock soars after ditching wokeness for Sydney Sweeney. So American Eagle, you know, they ditched the woke agenda and they got this, you know, very beautiful actress named Sydney Sweeney to take part in their marketing campaign for their jeans, and their stock immediately soared like crazy. And but anyway, now that story, of course, is all over the place because all these liberals are calling it a Nazi campaign commercial because she has blonde hair and blue eyes, and they're talking about the good jeans that she's wearing. Yeah, can you believe this craziness?
During the break, I was trying to figure out, okay, which one is it? Is it American Eagle? I watched a clip this morning at leftist. But, of course, leftists don't talk. The blue hair nose ring crowd, they scream. And I saw a clip where it's just screaming, Nazi propaganda. It's like, and I immediately flash back to you know, the jeans ads of the 70s and 80s, where you had beautiful women with some wonderful curves and selling the jeans.
Yeah.
That's marketing.
Black, brown,
side-by-side,
Puerto Rican or Haitian,
Sydney,
right? All the above.
Yeah, with Sydney next to the Dylan Mulvaney freak with the Bud Light, which they thought that was wonderful. They're screaming Nazism because a beautiful woman is selling jeans, and yet they have a mental illness patient with Bud Light, and then that's just fine. Yeah, I was wondering if that was it. That is definitely, you know, the hands down wearing it out. We will get that July 25, the woke update of the month.
My goodness. Okay. They hate the fact that a beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl is being featured in an ad campaign. You know, but if it was two gay dudes, they'd be like, oh, look at that. I mean, how many times do you watch TV and it's like, you know, it's like, wow, they keep pushing this in every freaking commercial here. The Babylon Bee nailed it here. American Eagle apologizes. Replaces Sydney Sweeney with fat transgender double amputee of color. That just nailed it.
The left would love it if they did that. That would be inclusive, because we have to exclude everybody else.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's anyway, we could talk all day about this one and all the other stories out there. But, Tim, thanks so much for calling in. Oh, the other woke update of the week that I was going to share with David for tomorrow, but he's going to have some good content tomorrow, as always, as well. TheFederalist.com has this. Further data shows that the media wildly overestimated the number of transgender troops. Remember how they were telling you that 15,000 troops would be booted from the military as a result of the new transgender policy? Turns out 15,000 turned into 4.
Yeah, I did not serve, but I just can't imagine that the transgender crowd are the ones that are just really jacked about going to boot camp. That doesn't make sense to me that there would be that many.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's craziness across the board. All right, Tim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Tom in Billings. Tom, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron. After 18 weeks in Quantico and then the camper up in the mountains for 2 weeks, I come back and Bozeman's doing all their rainbow flags on their sidewalks, their rainbow flag, which is a violation of state law. If you're a Democrat today, you're an idiot. You're a loser. You can't figure out what's going on. Your party is down 19%. They're down 30%. I'm going to take one of these liberals, along with the dirty 9 out of the Montana State Legislature, and I'm going to show them what an actual real conservative is. And I'm going to do things for the people of Montana. And you know what? I am so sick and tired of it. I spent 18 weeks out there trying to get my head right, and I come back to Montana, and I'm sorry, shit is going bad.
Hopefully, Caden was able to get that with the red button. I know he was just bringing a printout in here. We need 2 red buttons. We've only got the 1. But no, I understand your frustration. I also think what's another way to say that? What's another way? Maybe there is no other way to say just how crazy the far left Democrats are. I got some email. An email that came in yesterday, because Francis in Big Fork was tearing into the Democrats and basically saying similar things to what Tom just said there, and said, I get tired of some of the name calling out there, and I understand that. But on the other hand, like, these people are pushing such crazy policies. Like, how else do you describe the city of Bozeman deliberately dividing their community, virtue signaling about the RSTLNE community, while at the same time stabbing one of their own female firefighters in the back when she just suffered a tremendous loss? What else do you say? Is there a nicer way to talk about the horrible way they treat their own female firefighters? I don't know. You tell me.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Here's a novel way of shutting up the press. President Trump over the weekend, playing at his Turnberry golf course in Scotland, ignored some shouted questions about the Jeffrey Epstein case, and then had the club turn up the music system to drown out the questions. This included the song Memory from the musical Cats. Meanwhile, the president on Air Force One dropping a bit of a bomb. He had been talking about how he broke up his relationship with Epstein because Epstein was hiring away, presumably were lower-level employees, from the Mar-a-Lago Club. Well, now he reveals that one of them was Virginia Joffrey, who later became a victim of Epstein's pedophilia. And more recently, a few months ago, committed suicide. That is very different. And that is a very sad story. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, we got a great guest kicking off Wednesday's Montana Talks. He's the head of the union representing the great men and women of our U.S. Border Patrol. Paul Perez, president of the National Border Patrol Council, joining us on Wednesday's Montana Talks. And then after that, we'll have the phone lines open for you and what you want to talk about. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. That's what's coming up on Wednesday. Thursday, we're live out on the town in Kalispell, ahead of the Governor's Cup.
A message from Fire Safe Montana. With the large number of homes being built in the wildland-urban interface, it is the responsibility of the homeowner to use ignition-resistant materials. Many buildings in a wildfire are burned from the roof down. Consider using a metal or asphalt roofing material. The siding of a home is subject to extremely high heat during a fire. Look into the use of stone, stucco, or cement board. Contact Fire Safe Montana for more information. This message brought to you by Fire Safe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Donald Trump's America.
The AI action plan includes dozens of federal actions, all intended to cement U.S. dominance in artificial intelligence.
America is the country that started the AI race, and as President of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. We're going to work hard. We're going to win it.
President Trump is directing agencies to ease regulations and include private sector voices in rulemaking and speed up construction of energy facilities needed to run AI products.
It will require us to blast through obsolete systems, cut through thickets of regulation. We've got to get rid of some of the regulation, but we want good regulation and rebuild the industrial bedrock of our country.
The plan also requires any tech firm contracted by the government to ensure systems are objective and free from top-down ideological bias. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Today we see that winter wheat harvest is moving right along with 80% complete nationwide. Now that's just 1 point behind both last year and the five-year average. Kansas and Illinois are essentially wrapped up at 99%, while Montana, Idaho, and Washington trail at 15, 19, and 35% complete respectively. As for spring wheat, 92% of the crop is headed, slightly behind normal. Harvest is just getting underway nationwide with only 1% complete so far, mostly in South Dakota and Washington. Crop conditions remain a concern. Only 49% of spring wheat is rated good to excellent, down from 52% last week and well below last year's 74%. North Dakota stands at 64%, South Dakota 56%, and Minnesota is a standout with 90% good to excellent. Montana, meanwhile, is struggling with just 6% of its crop rated in top shape. In other news, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in partnership with the National Agriculture Statistics Service and Natural Resources Conservation Service, is launching the 2025 Conservation Effects Assessment Project. The project aims to gather vital information about the conservation practices being used by farmers, ranchers, and landowners.
Approximately 23,000 stakeholders will be contacted for the surveys. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Wow, check out this great message that just came in. This one just came in on the Montana Talks app. This is from Sandy in Missoula. And I know just which Sandy this came in from because when I read the message, I'm like, oh, this is Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica. She's on the Missoula City Council, but actually went to Montana State University for college. She is one of the lone common sense people on the Missoula City Council. But, you know, Tim and Savage were just saying that, you know, that despite the tremendous loss that that Gabby, the young lady firefighter who we spoke with in the 6 o'clock hour, that despite the tremendous loss that her and her husband went through, that hopefully her speaking out publicly about her fight with the city of Bozeman will help others, will help other moms, will help other women and families. So, yeah, for those of you who missed the 6 o'clock hour, you're going to have to go back and listen to that on our Montana Talks podcast later today. But Gabby is a firefighter and a medic with the city of Bozeman. She lost her baby, and because it was through an ectopic pregnancy, the city of Bozeman, she says, told her that the bereavement leave policy would not apply to her, And when she talked about how hard of a loss it was, they downplayed it, according to her, and compared the loss of her baby to the loss of a pet. Anyway, Sandy in Missoula says this, City Council Member Sandy Vasica, she says, thank you, Gabby, for sharing your story. A very good friend of mine went through something similar recently, and seeing the absolute devastation and mourning she went through, I don't understand how a loss like that would not be covered, especially for our first responders. I may not be able to help your specific situation in Bozeman, but I have just reached out to Missoula's HR to see how this would be covered in my hometown. Thank you for sharing what is happening so that someone in the future won't be subject to the same treatment. Thank you for your service, Gabby, and I am so sorry for your loss. There you go. Missoula City Council Member Sandy Vasica listening in on this story and immediately taking action. And there could be people in other cities and towns all across Montana doing the very same thing right now. I don't know if Gabby brought this up on air or if she mentioned it to me off air. We talked more during one of the breaks in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But she says, you know, you hear she made another really good point, which is, you know, you hear all these people now will talk about, yeah, you know, our first responders, you know, they get PTSD and they need to be taken care of with PTSD. And it's exactly right. And we had a similar conversation with a former NYPD commander, I think earlier this week. Talk about that very thing, about how, you know, suicide is the number one killer of law enforcement in the line of duty right now. And, you know, I talked about a great organization here in Montana that takes care of our first responders that have PTSD and other, you know, mental, you know, health issues that come up, and how, you know, one guy that I interviewed with that program in particular is called T6, how, you know, when he was a Marine and he came back home from the Middle East, like, he could go to the VA, he could get help for his PTSD, and, you know, wouldn't get kicked out of the military and things like that, right? They say, yeah, go get help. But he became a law enforcement officer in Florida. You get PTSD as a law enforcement officer in Florida back then, you're fired. Nope, can't have you. And that was happening. And there was a congressman at the time, or maybe he was in the state legislature at the time, a guy by the name of Ron DeSantis, if you know that name. Said, we're going to fix that. And they did. But anyway, back to Gabby's point. She said, you hear all these people talk about, well, PTSD for first responders, because you will see some bad things happen to some other people. She's like, but this is something that happened to me. So it's like, okay, well, we'll work with you to help you address the PTSD if you see something really, really awful and tragic happen to somebody else. But something really, really awful and tragic happens to you, the loss of your own baby. And not our problem. Not our problem. We don't want all these awful city employees abusing a policy like that. It's just crazy when you think about it from that perspective, isn't it? 406-294-0970, the number for you. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Tim and Savage, by the way, just messaged us. I know when he talked to us on the phone earlier, he was driving from Forsyth to Miles City. He says, I'm driving through smoke in eastern Montana. Is there anything left in Canada that has not burned? Yeah, so much of that smoke is coming from Canada. It makes you wonder if they've significantly changed their firefighting strategy up there, doesn't it, Tim? In addition to their logging policies, now that, you know, Canada is run by such a far left regime now, not just with Trudeau, but now the guy that followed in Trudeau's footsteps. Okay, we were talking with Tim and Savage about this Sydney Sweeney American Eagle jeans story. And the Daily Caller has another story here this morning. Outrage at Sydney Sweeney's blonde, busty looks sums up why lefties are losing the culture war. Julie Banderas was on Fox News with Jesse Waters talking about the Sydney Sweeney responders. Coming up later in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, the Mason Moore Foundation, you know, a fallen first responder. And then his family stepped up, created the Mason Moore Foundation. They've got a big event coming up to help our first responders and their families. So, boy, a big topic we've been talking about this week. And then I just remembered that's been on our schedule for quite some time now, because we wanted to make sure we got the Mason Moore Foundation on the show whenever they were ready to be on the show to promote this upcoming event. So that'll be an important conversation coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Is it Julie or is it Juli? Juli Banderas. You know, you got to emphasize Hispanic names. You never use a Hispanic accent unless you're a news reporter using a Hispanic name. And all of a sudden you, Juli Banderas. No, it's Juli Banderas. She was on with Jesse Waters last night talking about these left-wing wackos attacking this Sydney Sweeney jeans commercial.
This jeans thing is going crazy.
Yeah. So I am neither a hot white chick or a Nazi blonde chick, okay? But I can tell you, I do talk sense sometimes. This makes no sense.
Yeah.
First of all, jeans are all about ads. Ads are all about sexy. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be thin to be sexy. American Eagle has plenty of jeans. In fact, they advertise that they have a size 24 jean. And they've advertised that on the website. And they have larger size models that are modeling that. So what is wrong with advertising for a larger size model, but then there's something wrong with a blonde, blue-eyed person who, by the way, is advertising jeans on the play on word, which is so stupid that people are even making an issue of this. And she has blue eyes, and most denim jeans are blue. I mean, this is just so stupid.
Well, a little while ago, we had a very overweight woman in these advertisements.
Yep.
And I don't think people wanted to buy those jeans.
Yeah, and what about the Calvin Klein ad? I mean, I'm sorry, but when Justin Bieber was in his tighty whities, I don't recall the whole male generation or all the, you know, all the people coming out and complaining because we're sexualizing men.
I don't remember that Bieber ad.
Well, Saturday Night Live has been spoofing it for years, so you need to catch up.
I remember Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, but of course, nobody watches Saturday Night Live anymore, so thankfully we don't have to see freaking Bieber in tighty whities. Jesse Waters. Oh, I remember Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, if you were a 90s kid, I know it's embarrassing, but you can admit it. Who else was out on the basketball court and you had jean shorts on? Jean shorts are coming back now. I was at the mall the other day and they have jean shorts. I was like, holy cow, jean shorts are coming back. They call them jorts. But who else was out on the basketball court and you had your jean shorts and then, you know, you had to do the Marky Mark thing and, you know, you've got the flannel boxers hanging out 2 inches above the belt line while you're out on the basketball court. I know it's the embarrassing things of being a kid in the 80s and the 90s. Thankfully, there's no photo evidence of that one, though, so you guys don't have to be subjected to that one. All right, let's see. We got a great guest coming up right after this, and maybe we'll sneak in a call or two. Yep.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, this could also be a woke update of the week here as well. I printed up a few screenshots of some of the stuff that I was sharing on X over the last 24 hours. And one of the posts was from Charlie Kirk, you know, Charlie Kirk with Turning Point USA. And I was looking over Charlie Kirk's profile photo now, if you guys haven't seen it. It's basically Cartman from the cartoon TV show South Park. But Cartman, in apparently an upcoming episode, is going to be playing Charlie Kirk. So they have now made a Charlie Kirk Cartman on South Park. And what's funny is Charlie Kirk isn't getting all whiny about it and calling for censorship. He's laughing. He made it his profile photo. He says, oh, yeah, I will watch this episode. Now I can't even remember why I brought up the whole Charlie Kirk thing. But that could have been a woke update of the week. Hey, also in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we caught up with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines, and we were talking about all of the great things that are in this one big, beautiful bill that so many people just aren't even aware of. You know, unlike some big bills that aren't so beautiful, you know, later on you find out about all the bad stuff that was in them. the big, beautiful bill, the more we find out about it, the more good things we find out were in it. Let's start there with Brian Morgenstern, head of public policy at Riot Platforms. Brian, thanks for being with us here this morning.
You bet. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. From the one big, beautiful bill just to a whole stack of accomplishments in just the first 6 months of Donald Trump's presidency, what's standing out to you?
Oh, I mean, providing tax certainty for people and businesses, that means we're seeing a lot of investment in great middle-class jobs. We're going to see more manufacturing. We're going to make things in America again. People are going to be very happy, I think, with their tax bills the next time they visit with their accountant next spring. We're seeing the market is soaring. We are seeing so much optimism all across the country. Unleashing American energy is not talked about enough, but that is going to have a profound impact on not just our economic growth, but our ability to counter our adversaries like Russia or Iran, other oil-producing nations. If America is running on all cylinders, the world is going to be more prosperous and more peaceful. Securing the border, what more can we talk about? I mean, the president is delivering on all of his promises, and it's making America stronger.
Yeah, you talked about unleashing American energy. We've seen it on the oil, gas, and coal front right here in Montana and in Wyoming, and the Powder River Basin coal, you know, coal, which is the cleanest coal in the world, frankly. And I was thinking about this, the latest moves just by Lee Zeldin at the EPA that have come out this week alone, and you talk about what that's going to do to unleash America's clean energy. And it triggered a thought earlier this morning about how, you know, we all saw the COVID-19 hoax and the fake science that they used to justify their BS draconian mandates. The climate hoax was basically the predecessor to the COVID hoax. They had to fake the science. They had to have all of these alarmist predictions to shut down America's energy economy and to try to use it to shut down America's agriculture economy as well. And Trump, Team Trump now is making some bold moves to reverse this nonsense finally.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And Lee Zeldin I've known for a couple decades now. I think he's a fantastic guy. And he's taking bold steps and getting rid of junk science. You know, we all want clean air and clean water. That is all very, very important. But the environmental laws have been abused for too long to really handicap the American energy industry. And who does that benefit? Well, it benefits the likes of, you know, China that's building dirty coal plants. It benefits the likes of Iran and Russia who are selling energy to our allies in Europe and strengthening their own, you know, war machines. So this has such profound effects that are really good for the world, and I'm so glad that Zeldin is in place at the EPA because he's such a smart guy, and he's willing to take these bold steps that America has needed now for a couple decades. I'm just so glad they're happening.
Yeah, and I've got audio shared by the Trump War Room from Lee Zeldin and also Keely Sabiri that I want to share here later this morning as well. I see, you're the head of public policy at Riot Platforms. Tell us about Riot Platforms. Do you work in cryptocurrency, as I understand it?
Yes, sir. So that is a big priority of the Trump administration. I actually worked in the first Trump administration at the Treasury Department and in the White House. And then since then, been working for Riot. We do Bitcoin mining, and we're getting into the AI data center space, two big priorities for the president, because if the U.S. is going to grow faster than our adversaries, we really need to embrace these new technologies, which are going to make working more efficient. They're going to have greater GDP per capita in America. And we need to modernize our financial system. We saw so much debanking, political discrimination in the system. It's still old and clunky. I mean, sending payments across borders takes days and exorbitant fees. You know, Bitcoin and stablecoins are really solving this and improving the financial rails for the economy of the future. And the U.S. is going to lead. And I'm so glad the president's embracing that. And Riot is really at the cutting edge of this.
Yeah, I know our Eastern Montana District Congressman Troy Downing, you know, I was telling him, it's like this, a lot of this Bitcoin crypto stuff is like a foreign language to me and so many of our listeners. But I do know this, that the United States has to be the leader in this regard, because if not, we hand over, you know, huge chunks of international trade dominance to potentially our competitors. And so that's why we've got to take the lead in that. That's why the Genius Act got across the finish line. That's why House Republicans in particular and President Trump are wanting to deliver on a regulatory framework in particular. You talked about like Bitcoin mining. I was talking with a friend and, you know, it's funny when you think of Bitcoin mining, like we don't need to mine Bitcoin in our, you know, larger urban centers. You don't need to do it in even in, you know, we think of Bozeman, Montana as being, you know, the big tech hub, high tech hub in Montana, but you don't need to mine Bitcoin in Bozeman. You could do it way out in Culbertson, and it could be good money for a rural county in Montana. And but this friend was telling me, he's like, man, even just for fun, he's like, you know, he lives on a ranch. So he was thinking, I might even just have my own little, create a small hydro project and just mine Bitcoin through this little, you know, little creek on my ranch, basically.
That's a great idea. I mean, just using some examples. So one broader point, then one more specific point to what you're talking about. So broadly, China's trying to create a central bank digital currency, or they have created one. And that is a direct relationship with the consumer and the government. And the government can control how you spend your money. It is the ultimate way of controlling your populace. With Bitcoin and stablecoins, these private options, it's going to preserve freedom and Americans' ability to move money around faster, have a more secure store of value, but it's going to do it in a way that's with the private sector and empowering people. Now, to your point on Bitcoin mining, just using an example from Riot Platforms, we are the biggest employer in a couple of very rural counties because they have a lot of available power. They used to be, one of them used to be a factory town, factory left. We are now the biggest employer there. We're using the power available in this rural area to create a digital commodity. And we're providing jobs. We're, I think, the biggest taxpayer in the school district. I mean, this is a really great way of revitalizing rural communities. And, yes, anybody can do it. You can plug in a Bitcoin miner in your house if you want to. It might make your electric bill go up a little bit, but you can do that. Monetizing stranded power, like what your friend is describing, is absolutely a great way to mine Bitcoin. And you just turn stranded power into digital money. I mean, it's a really, really interesting technology. I hope more people look at it.
Yeah, and it's our rural communities in Montana that are losing population and, as a result, losing resources and losing wealth, losing capital. Meanwhile, I mean, you've probably seen it, Montana, because of the show Yellowstone and because of the COVID refugees from the cow states of California, Oregon, and Washington. You know, the larger, you know, towns, more so in the western part of the state, have just been hammered with population and growth, but the smaller towns could really use this type of money in these types of projects.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've been to Montana a number of times. I love the state. It's so beautiful. But I would look at the example. So the mayor of Rockdale, Texas, had written a really excellent op-ed illustrating the point that you are making, where Riot Platforms, a large Bitcoin mining company, revitalized his town and repurposed stranded power and hired hundreds of people in the community and created a state-of-the-art facility that's helping the U.S. lead the economy of the future. I mean, it's something that I think every rural town should look at because it really does help revitalize the area.
Well, Brian Morgenstern, great to have you on the show. And I thought your name was familiar, so I checked my calendar. Yeah, we had you on Montana Talks back on October 19th of 2020 when you were the White House Deputy Press Secretary. So great to have you back on the show.
It's great to be with you, and I appreciate all you're doing, and thank you, everybody, for listening, and let's keep President Trump's priorities rolling.
Yeah, great to have you on this show. Let us know when you want to be back on again. It was a fun conversation. Appreciate your time, and appreciate what you're doing for rural America and what the Trump team is doing for rural America, flyover country, whatever you want to call us. Back with your calls and more after this.
Smart water. Pure, crisp taste.
That's really good water.
It's the kind of water that says, I have my life together.
I do feel more sophisticated.
Smart water. For those with a taste for taste. Grab yours today.
Fox News commentary.
Just when you thought Democrat approval ratings couldn't excavate to new lows, they've done it. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
When challenged to find a new approval rating floor, Democrats put that can-do attitude to work. They got out their excavators, their hard hats, their shovels, and they found it. Democrat approval has hit a new 35-year low, to be exact. That's a whole 2 years more than I've been alive, by the way. A Wall Street Journal poll reveals that 63% of voters hold an unfavorable view of the party. Could it be Democrats spend their time advocating for illegal aliens and Stephen Colbert rather than everyday Americans? Yeah, it's really no shock that only 8% of voters hold a very favorable opinion of the party. In fact, the Wall Street Journal poll found only two areas where Democrats bested Republicans: healthcare and vaccine policy. Not the economy, inflation, certainly not immigration. The party brand of the Democrat Party is indeed toxic, and there are absolutely zero signs they've understood that message. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Former NFL player and Bobcat great Dane Fletcher tackles Bozeman's divisive flag debate. Check out that story, the full video, and more, MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly sunny conditions today and some scattered showers and storms developing, mainly in the afternoon hours. High temperatures will stay from the upper 70s to the lower 80s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms early on yet, and then temperatures will bottom out in the mid-50s to around 60. Thursday, looking at a mix of clouds and sun and more showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon, with highs from the mid to upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
There are some exciting matchups in the 2025 Legion Baseball Tournament. Hey, guys, our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, he's been doing some great things, umpiring some games this summer, so he did a big write-up for us. You know, football may be right around the corner, but playoff baseball is in full swing here in Montana. Eyes turn north to Medicine Hat, Alberta. That's where the Montana kids will be playing in the state AA championship.
15th under Montana's big sky. Get your tickets now at metropark.com. Rodeo Billings, where the West lives on.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, kicking off the 8 o'clock hour of the show, we've got the Mason Moore Foundation talking about all of the important work that they are doing to look out for our first responders all across Montana. And then let me see. Yeah, I think we'll have some open phones time in the 8 o'clock hour of the show as well. Paul Perez, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, followed by former State Senator Eric Moore, a rancher in Miles City. He was just out in Washington, D.C. with our Montana Farm Bureau friends. I saw Rebecca Colnar was out there. I saw Casey Mott was out there. So anyway, Eric Moore is going to be telling us about that trip and what all they talked about later on in the 9 o'clock hour as well. We were just chatting with Brian Morgenstern there, the former White House Deputy Press Secretary now. What was his title now here? I just had it here. Oh, yeah, now the head of public policy at Riot Platforms. But we were talking about, you know, unleashing American energy. So this is EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin's been on the show with us before. The EPA is moving to reverse an Obama-era emissions rule, which, quote, let the agency essentially regulate parts of the United States economy out of existence. And now the Trump administration is reversing this Obama-era emissions rule. And, you know, they've used that to target Montana jobs, Montana energy, Montana union jobs in particular that have been destroyed as a result of this Obama a Democrat-era emissions rule.
EPA is proposing to rescind the 2009 Obama EPA endangerment finding to eliminate all of the greenhouse gas emissions regulations that followed, including electric vehicle mandates, which amounts to $1 trillion worth of savings. And on top of it, that much hated start-stop technology, EPA is also going to, is also proposing to eliminate that off-cycle credit that incentivized it. As you just mentioned, if finalized, this amounts to the largest deregulatory action in the history of the United States, thanks to President Trump, the Trump mandate, and the American people.
Well, as
all right, and then we've also got President Trump, I believe, talking about, this is President Trump talking about, well, kind of a related topic. You know, President Trump has been hammering wind energy, you know, those ugly windmills that they want to scatter all across Big Sky country, especially right now. Our friends in eastern Montana are pushing back because they don't want the beautiful Big Sky country to be destroyed by these massive windmills. And that's one of the best things about eastern Montana is the open big sky. Here's the latest of what President Trump had to say about these windmills and why he wants to do away with the subsidies propping these things up.
You were playing golf, weren't you, on this beautiful golf course in Western Scotland. And what happened at the 18th hole?
Well, I'm looking down the 18th hole and Turnberry is, I think, probably the best course in the world. Yeah. It's considered that by many people. And it's like four open championships, et cetera. And I'm looking down and in the distance, I mean, it's a pretty far distance, but it doesn't matter. These things are massive. And you're looking at these ugly windmills, and it's a shame. It's really a shame. It's really hurting. You know, it's a con job saying the environmentalists want it because I can't believe they really want it. It kills the birds, ruins the look. They're noisy. If you see them from your house is worth like 50% or more or less.
Yeah.
I think it's a very bad thing. Environmentally, it's horrible, and in every way, it's bad. And you have to subsidize them. You know, they cost money. When you put them up, they cost money. Energy is supposed to make money.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to lose money, and they lose a lot of money. And they're going to be abandoned already. They already are. They're being abandoned, and then nobody takes them down. They just stand up there and rust.
All right. So, yeah, you know, I was wondering about this. So if they finally do away with these subsidies propping up these wind farms, you know, because you could argue 25 years ago, look, we needed alternative energy sources to come online. It made sense in a short term to provide short term incentives to get these alternative sources online. We're long past that time of them needing any incentives whatsoever. If those subsidies go away, does the threat to eastern Montana go away overnight too?
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV, and then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.